I need you to break some chains.
Why is repentance so necessary? Why is forgiveness so important? Yeah. Forgiveness is a necessity. If you want to be forgiven, you must forgive. So there's some questions that we'll never be able to answer. Some are so far beyond our comprehension, we only suspect there's a question there, waiting to be asked. And yet, we cannot articulate it. Like standing in the presence of the Almighty. There are no words. You can't say anything. Put a coal to our lips. Because when the Almighty is moving, there's just no words. Repentance is one of those subjects that often appears straightforward, and yet it raises questions that beget questions unspoken and incomprehensible. The answer being even far beyond our grasp. Both traditional Christianity and Hasidic Judaism have attempted to ask and even supposed some answers to the questions of sin, repentance, and forgiveness. Christianity has posited opposing theories of predestination and free will. Do we have free will? Do we really? That's a good question, isn't it? Consider that question the next time you walk in sin. Hasidic Judaism has given us the concept of tikkun olam, repair the world, and provided not only the questions regarding the origin and purpose of sin, but some supposed answers as well. But all these are only man's feeble attempts to explain away nagging questions about our questions. That there is something inexplicably behind our questions. And no doubt, the answers are even more remote. However, we only really know what we've been told. So, who told us? Parents, churches, congregations that we've been to before. So here are a couple of surveys that show a disturbing trend. In a 2020 Barna survey, it was found that roughly half, 51% of American adults, have a traditional biblical view of God as the all-powerful, all-knowing Creator. A dramatic decrease from 73% in 1991. Of those who believe in Yeshua, more say he sinned than didn't. 44 to 41%. And more people believe in Satan, 56%, than believe in Adonai. Today, 176 million Americans claim to be Christians, 69% of the population. Yet only 6% of U.S. adults, which is 9% of those identifying as Christians, possess a biblical worldview. Believing the Bible to be accurate and reliable, among other convictions. That's according to a new study by researcher George Barna and the Cultural Research Center in Arizona. The survey released, and this is on a Tuesday, but it was in 2020, as part of a research of that was sponsored by Arizona Christian Academy, and it was on American worldview. So this is what they revealed. Several polling results found that apply specifically to American evangelicals. a term that is not loosely defined, but rather most meet 9% criteria, nine different criteria. And it reveals 48% believe a person who is good enough or does enough good works can earn eternal salvation. 44% do not believe that history is the unfolding narrative of God's reality. 44% claim that the Bible is ambiguous in its teachings about abortion. Do not identify and confess their sins on a daily basis. 40% accept lying as morally acceptable if it advances personal interest or protects one's reputation. 36% prefer socialism to capitalism. 34% reject the idea of legitimate marriage as one man and one woman. 34% argue that abortion is morally acceptable if it spares the mother from financial or emotional discomfort or hardship. These are evangelical Christians who are saying this and believe this. And we wonder why. We wonder why. See, during the last administration in the White House, we were very prosperous. But we didn't change the statistics. So guess what? We are under judgment. Period. No question about it. I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, Socialist, whatever. We are under judgment in the United States of America. And the overturn of Roe v. Wade was just a little cracker in the basket of hope. While the latest figures may be shocking to some observers, they are similar to Barna's findings in 2003. See, nothing much changed. That survey found that 4% of U.S. adults possess a biblical worldview, including 9% of born-again Christians. With trends such as these, it's no wonder sin and repentance are not spoken about more. Try as we might to plumb the depths of philosophy, in the end, what we are really left with is what Scripture clearly tells us. And it tells us quite plainly that sin is rebellion against the commandments of Adonai. It tells us that he hates sin. It tells us that the correct response to him is always simple obedience. Call it tikkun olam or teshuvah. Call it repentance or surrender. In the end, it is the only action that we are truly free to take in response to our undeniable rebellion against the instructions of the Almighty. That's your free will. You have the free will to obey the Almighty. Hallelujah. Anything else really doesn't matter. Obey Him. That is your free will offering. Amen? When we begin to ask such things as, what instructions? What commandments? Of course, we're denying the necessity of repentance. See, when we walk in sin, we slowly become blind. We can still see each other, but you're blind to the voice and the visions of the Almighty. And you continue to walk that way, you will be turned over to your reprobate mind. But you can do one thing, repent. Here's something that you'd like to hear. When we argue that something does or does not apply to us because we are Jewish, or because we are Gentile, or because we are Christians, we are still denying the single acceptable response to the Almighty. This doesn't apply to me. We hear that a lot from our Christian brothers and sisters. We still love him, love every one of them, and pray that God will illuminate them to the commandments, to His commandments, and to His righteousness, and walk in His Torah. Amen? And come on His feast days, not when they feel like it. God never changed. Amen? His calendar never changed. His commandments, though we think they're watered down, never changed. Not we. Don't throw stones. So repent. It was the message in Genesis 3. It was the message in Genesis 6. It was the message at Sinai. It was the message of the prophets. It was the message of the apostles. It is the message of Messiah Yeshua. And is the good news message. And it is simply repent. Turn away. See, there's a difference between asking for forgiveness and repenting. Yes? There is. Big difference. You can say, I'm sorry, all you want. But are you? You keep doing the same thing over and over again. Are you sorry? Do you want to change? Yeah. Then repent and don't do it again. God has supplied you with a comforter and the power and the Holy Spirit. And if you believe in that, then call on Him in times of trouble. When you're looking at something that you'd really like to do and you know it's wrong, call on God. Help me, Father. I know this is wrong. Help me to turn away. And if you keep doing that over and over and over again, you will find that you don't need to do that anymore as much. Because then it becomes automatic. But we refuse to do that. First, we refuse to recognize that it's sin. And second of all, we recognize that we don't need to change. I do what I want. I got free will. Watch out. Adonai has spoken. He has defined His holy standard, and it is the Torah. Disobedience is sin, and man's only response to that should be repent. Anything else remains pure and simple rebellion. Uh-oh. Let others argue about whether some commandments apply to this dispensation, or whether we are under the jurisdiction of the new covenant, or whether a commandment applies to the Gentiles or not, or that God cannot require repentance for salvation, or that denies grace. Come on, quit arguing. Just face it. You're guilty? Change. That's all. And you know, for some of us who walk in the Holy Spirit, number one, recognize the sin before it happens. Or number two, your spirit man recognizes there's an issue. You know, when that feeling of God's Spirit grabbing you, trying to say something to you, you have a choice. You can either deny it or apply it. Pretty simple, isn't it? But it's not. We live in a world where everything's about us. Everything that we want. Things that we do that we want to do. And not what things that God wants us to do. Take, for instance, the Shabbat. Uh-oh. When does Shabbat start? Friday at sundown. And when does it end? So why are we in such a hurry to go? Right? We're here in His sanctuary, His temple, basking in His glory. The music was great today, wasn't it?
Yes, thank you.
Loved it. But, gotta go. Gotta go. Gave my tithe, heard the music. Some gray-haired guy up there preaching. When it's over, I got to go, man. Got something to do. Right? What does the Word of God say about Shabbat? No. Yeah, keep it holy. What else? Come on, it's pretty simple. Refrain from doing your own thing. What it says in Jeremiah. Refrain from doing your own thing. That's Shabbat. Not my will, Father, but yours. I will do what you want me to do, not what I want to do. Because what I want to do doesn't honor you on this day. It's a mere arrogance on our half, on our behalf, if we choose to do our own thing. If we choose to run out that door and go to Walmart or go shopping or make somebody else work for us on the Shabbat, because the Word says that your maidservant and your manservant in your house, but I'm not home. God's desire is that we rest and refrain from doing our own thing. Amen? Ooh. Amen? Thank you. Thought I lost you. In the end, all of these machinations and lies are the same tactic the enemy has used since the garden, designed to get us to question the things we already really do know. And if Adonai commands us as his children, he expects us to obey him. And to disobey him is sin. Period. If we say that we have no sin, we deceived ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We read that on Shabbat. Do we really believe it? Yeah. If we say that we have not sinned, then we have made him a liar and his word is not in us. My children, these things I write to you that you may not keep on sinning. And if anyone sins, we have the advocate with the Father, Messiah Yeshua HaZadok, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation of our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now that we know him, if we keep his commandments, he who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. And by this we know that we are in him. 1 John chapter 1, 8 through chapter 2, verse 5. 1 John chapter 3, and if anyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure, whoever keeps on committing sin also commits Torahlessness. And sin is Torahlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not keep on sinning. Whoever keeps on sinning has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, that's us. Let no one deceive you. He who keeps on practicing righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. You see, the questions that are unspoken may be deep, but the issue really is simple. When we disobey the words of the living God, that is called sin. When we obey, that is called righteousness. When we recognize his disobedience and obey, that is called repentance. So what are we waiting for? Remember the Torah of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Adonai. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Malachi 4. So there's one more important survey I need to mention. What were the effects of the pandemic, and I loosely use that term, on the church? More numbers released from the Barna Group, the country's foremost researcher on religion, show that 2 out of 5 pastors nationwide are seriously thinking about quitting the ministry. We found a subgroup analysis that pastors in the ministry for 20 years or more are more likely to tell us that they are considering quitting. And David Kinnaman, president and CEO of the Barna Group, during and after the pandemic, 1/3 of practicing Christians disengaged from their congregation, just sort of stopped showing up. More than 4,000 churches closed in America in 2020. 4,000 churches. Over that same time, over 20,000 pastors left the ministry. And 50% of the current pastors say they would leave the ministry if they had another way of making a living. First of all, you shouldn't consider making a living as a pastor. Period. It's service. End of story. So I close with this. A recent Barna Research Group surveys that Americans believe confirms what this brief scenario illustrates. We are in danger of becoming a nation of relativists. The Barna Group survey asked, is there absolute truth? Amazingly, 66% of American adults responded that they believe that there is no such thing as absolute truth. Different people can define truth in conflicting ways and still be correct. The figure rises to 72% when it comes to those between the ages of 18 and 25. This was written in Christianity Today, October 26, 1992. It certainly hasn't gotten better. It's gotten worse. Unfortunately, the majority of the people who spend money to go to the college that's in our town come away with that same consensus. There is no absolute truth. I believe that, along with everybody in this room, that there is an absolute truth, and that's the Bible. Amen. And that the words of the Adonai, our Father, are truth. And the words of Yeshua, our Messiah, is truth. Do we believe every word? Absolutely. Yes. Do we live every word? Absolutely not. But there's repentance. Amen. And one more thing. Thank you, Father. If you have aught with your brother or sister, the word says that you leave your tithe and go make straight away amends. If you have aught with somebody and you're holding on to that for years, and you die with that, you die in sin. If you have unforgiveness in your heart, and you die with that, you die in sin. So I urge you this day, if you have aught with somebody, and the Almighty brings that to your spirit, fix it. Get it right. And you make it right. Amen. Let's stand. Since our only, you want to do the, come on. Listen, there's only a little small group of married couples that do this. And if you desire to do this, let us know. Okay? Husband and wife. Even if we can do it in Espanol. Right?
Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, borei peri hagafen. Amen.
Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe,
creates fruit of the vine.
L'chaim. Hey, Dan, we teach singers that if you hold the mic that far away, we're not going to hear you. I know you didn't want to be heard.
I'm not one of the stage people.
Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lekem minaretz. Amen.
Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe,
who brings forth bread from the earth, who will bring us forth in the end days. See how wonderful that was? Did you hear him that time? Our Torah carrier, Brother Daniel, can you come forth? You can leave that on. He'll need it. Yeah. No. But you can Aaronic blessing for us, please, in Hebrew. Sure.
A little rusty, bear with me. Yevarechech Adonai v'yishmarecha. Yare Adonai panavalecha v'chunecha. Isa Adonai panav alecha ve'yasem lecha shalom. May Adonai bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and grant you shalom. B'shem Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. When you